Will I confuse you all if I preach from here? See, now I know where all the regulars are sitting because they're the ones laughing. My friends, will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So throughout the season of Advent, we've been looking at everybody's place in the nativity story, looking at Joseph and looking at Mary and seeing through the eyes of the children and the eyes of music. And so I was thinking about this place, places, places, places. And I was thinking, well, once I got first place in a history day competition in junior high, does that count? Of course, I was the only one in my category, but it was still first place, right? I got first place. All right. Maybe that doesn't work, but now my freshman year of high school, I was on the junior varsity softball team. And what do you know? But we placed first by being undefeated that season. And yes, we played teams every game, but undefeated. And I have to tell you, I still wear the shirt that celebrates that seemingly historic season. I quit after that, up at the top of my game. Well, but then again now, changing sports, my freshman year of college, I joined the lacrosse team at Westmont. And where did we place in our league? Very last. Not a single win that season. Boy, unconditional defeat was a tough pill to swallow, I have to tell you. All right, first place, last place. Not exactly the place we've been talking about, right? The first Christmas wasn't about which place was taken, but it was about finding a place for the baby Jesus to be born. The story in the Bible tells us that Mary and Joseph, mom and dad-to-be, looked high and looked low for the right place in Bethlehem for Jesus to take his first breath and to sleep his first night. It seems to us like it should have been in a nice, cushy hospital for Jesus, or at least a place with clean sheets and a bed for that birth to happen. But door after door was closed in their face. No place for Jesus. Now, logic dictates it shouldn't have been that difficult to find a place to give birth. Logic says that somebody should have had enough compassion to make space earlier in the journey for poor Mary. Was no one in Bethlehem willing to give up their room so that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords could enter this world in a more dignified way than a stable filled with dirty animals? Come on, folks, somebody had to have that compassion and kindness. But I thought about logic. And logic also dictates and tells us that during this season of celebrations, grief should not be the dominant emotion for some. Yet tragedy strikes, reality sometimes bites, making this a difficult season to endure. Logic also dictates that this season should have a break from diseases and cancers and battles for life, and yet we still watch our loved ones fight and struggle just to press on. Logic and reason tells us that this season of miracles, everyone should have a job, a home, food in their bellies, and yet just minutes from here, we find people hungry and cold, sleeping on the streets. Logic may seem logical, but logic doesn't always dictate how life goes, and logic did not write the Christmas story. You see, part of the beauty of the Christmas story is that there is a place for everyone. From those who experience sheer joy from the minute Thanksgiving ends all the way through New Year's, and for those that simply try surviving from one holiday to the next. How do I know? Because I've read the story a few times. You see, Mary and Joseph, they never gave up hope, did they? They kept knocking and knocking and knocking until they found their place. It was the imperfect yet perfect place a messy place to begin Christ's life in a messy and imperfect world. Christ found his place surrounded by a courageous Joseph, a faithful Mary, humble shepherds, and dignified wise men alike. While there seemed to be no place for Jesus to be born, there was a place in Jesus' birth for everyone to take part. Have you been dancing all month, singing that it's the most wonderful time of the year? See, this is why I don't sing, y'all, right? There are those out there, pure joy of this season. And if that's you, there's a place for you in this story. Are you the one that's humbled and bowing before the manger in awe of what God has done for you, in love with this, the story of your Savior? Well, guess what? There's a place for you in this story. Are you in a pew filled with family and are friends that bring you unconditional joy tonight? Guess what? There's a place for you in this story. Did you rush here from the hustle and the bustle of life that never seems to slow down or give you a chance to catch your breath? There's a place for you in this story too. Are you struggling? Maybe unsure as you sit in the pew because of the circumstances and challenges of life? Have faith. There's a place for you too. Are you here out of obligation or expectation? Ready or not, there's a place for you too. You see, Sunday I saw this. I watched it as my kids helped to perform a nativity play at the end of the weekend camp that they attended. Kids were invited on the registration to bring any costume they wanted for the nativity play. Yep, there were authentic looking characters from Mary and Joseph to shepherds and angels, but guess what? There were leopards, lots of mice, an abominable snowman, and several extremely authentic, edgy teenagers. I'm sure they were all at the first nativity. It came to be, in my eyes, the most realistic nativity I have seen, leaving no one out and making a place for everyone to come as they are and to witness the birth of Christ. This question this evening about places is not whether or not there's a place for each of us in the birth story of Christ. That, my friends, is the given. The question is actually whether or not there's a place for Jesus' birth story in each one of us. Do you have room for a Savior that would take on human life and then give up that life for you? Do you have room for a Savior who has unconditional love coupled with grace that seeks no merit or earning power? Do you have room for a hope that's unexplainable in human terms and a peace that surpasses all human understanding? Do you have room for a Savior who would seek for you to follow his example, to love God and to love your neighbor without end? Do you have room for a Savior that seeks a lifelong commitment and not just an occasional one? Do you have room for a Savior who came not to be a character in a story or a once upon a time, but to be a personal, all-time Savior with you to the end of the line? Are you one who's shutting the door, claiming no place for a Savior because of doubts, difficulties, overcommitments, or apathy? Are you leaving the door kind of open, but giving your Savior second place to everything else in your life? Or are you making Christ's place the place of honor in your life, willing to give everything for the one who gave his all for you, beginning that first humble night in the stable? It begins tonight. as we light our candles, carrying Christ's light from this sanctuary out into the patio to sing our carols. It continues as we are challenged to carry that light with us beyond the patio and into the world. We ask ourselves where Christ's place will be tomorrow morning in the midst of stockings and presents and brunches and festivities. We challenge ourselves not to put the spirit of Christmas away as we pack up our trees and decorations, but instead finding a way to keep Emmanuel, God with us, all year long. My friends, on this evening, I wish you a Merry Christmas with great rejoicing and the revealing of your Savior in your midst. I pray that the place of Christ in your life will guide you, uplift you, heal you, dance with you, and carry you through all the days of your life, beginning tonight. Amen.